Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one and the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Maggie.
Okay, I'm so excited for today's episode. I feel like I say that on every episode. Last year, we asked on Instagram, I say last year, we're still in January of 2023, so like a few weeks ago, we asked our Instagram followers for money etiquette questions and tricky money scenarios that they want advice on. And we got a ton of responses, and we're not even going to be able to get to all of them, but we're going to get through as many as we can and the ones that felt like they might be helpful to people. And we're also going to like mix in some actual scripts, because I think we can like talk about our advice on a topic, but I have always found it helpful to give an example script of like, here's what you could say to someone.
And I'm excited for this episode because we're going to have very different responses on some of this stuff.
Yeah, we haven't talked.
Yeah, and you will get to pick, you know, if you want to have like a very comforting, comprehensive response, or you want to have like my type of response, which I definitely give in real life. And maybe it's somewhere in the middle.
I'm actually curious to hear. So we have not discussed these in advance. We both had a chance to look at them. But and Mike, you might have seen some of my notes on a couple of them. But yeah, we may have some very different scripts. So you could get a Maggie script or a Mike script, and you could use whatever you want or something in between.
All right. Let's jump into it. I'm excited.
Let's do it. So the first one is, and we're reading what exactly verbatim what someone submitted. So someone asks you to pay for something and says they'll pay you back, but it's been weeks or months. Okay. Have you had this happen to you, Mike?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah, this has happened to me too. Why don't you go first here?
I will just say like, hey, do you remember when we talked about whatever, or remember when I paid for your lunch? You still owe me $20.
And you'll just say it that way.
Yeah.
See, okay, this is a great example of how we're like a little bit different, because I will still address it. First off, there have been times where I don't address it, and I'll get into that. You'll hear this in a lot of my answers. Like, there was someone that like never paid me for a trip. It just, they didn't have a lot of money. It was not a big deal to me. This was like a long, long time ago. And I just like let it go. Right. It just was not that big. It was not a big enough deal to me. And that person had enough kind of reminders and opportunity to. But I will say there's a lot of times when I would remind somebody. Right. It depends what it is and if it like how much it really means to me. And if I truly think they've forgotten or they're just avoiding it. In this other case, I actually thought they might be avoiding it. And I was just like, you know what? I don't care that much about it. And like, I think this might be kind of a stressful amount of money to them. So anyways, I think this is a good time to send a text. A lot of these things, the nice thing about kind of the world of texting is like, it might be easier to text somebody something than to like say to them in person, you know, like face to face. But like, I would send someone a text and be like, so let's say like I paid for someone's dinner and they hadn't Venmoed me back. Be like, hey, I was just doing my monthly financial review with Greg, and it just reminded me that I hadn't gotten that money back from dinner. Just a friendly reminder. Or another angle, because I'm, again, less direct than Mike in some ways. Something about like, hey, did you get my Venmo info? Just wanted to make sure it came through because I hadn't seen the Venmo come through for dinner last week. And just wanted to make sure I sent you the right Venmo. Like, yeah. You know, that's sort of like a, I don't know what the right word is, but like a roundabout way of.
Yeah. So here's the big difference. And I think this is also like a point that people should understand and maybe work towards, is that the people that I interact with in my life, the people that know me, that I would be in a situation where I would pay for something, expect reimbursement, like they know that this is the way that I approach this stuff. And so it is not offensive when
it's Mike.
I'm very consistent in the way that I talk to people, and it doesn't bother them. Or at least no one's told me that it bothers them.
That's fair. Okay, let's do the next one.
Okay.
Speaking of work.
Feeling pressure to donate money at work for numerous wedding, baby showers, that sort of stuff.
I got this all the time, Mike. I had a big team. I had a lot of people that reported up to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would always get included on just a lot of things.
So my feeling on this is there's like two types of scenarios. One is that it's a person on your team, someone that you work with regularly that would have also been involved in stuff for you, like had contributed to your birthday or baby shower, that sort of stuff. And I usually just have like a normal amount, like $20. And if it's somebody within that group, I'm just donating $20 without a second thought. Now, if it's somebody outside of, like, if I get a baby shower invite and there's like 200 people on it and I'm like, I just ignore it. But it's, I see it as two different scenarios and there's no kind of confusion about it for me.
Yeah. So you have a small team at work. Just the team that reports to you, but also the team you work on is pretty small. I mean, at one point I had 100 people that reported up to me, right? I had a big team, and then usually it was like 40 to 50, like just in Atlanta, more, I think, at various times. So I had a big team. And so my judgment was often based on how close I actually was to that person, right? Like, I get your point on like, well, if they would have chipped in for something for you, but I'm like, there's one of me and there's 100 of you. And yes, I make more money than the 100 of you, but I also think it's tricky because you just don't, your closeness to the person matters. Like, I have this sort of very ingrained in me and like hard to explain until someone asked me the scenario, but just a version of like, you know, what's right and what's wrong. And I would just say, you know, first off, you don't always have to donate. So to your point, Mike, like there's times when, you know, you might just ignore something because you don't know the person, right? Like I'm sure you've gotten included on like someone's baby shower and you're like, I'm not really even friends with that person, right? Like we're acquaintances at best. And you can choose not to donate. Your donation could be small. You could choose to do an individual gift. So, I mean, to me, the scripts you could use are like, and I've done this before, and this is real scenarios where I'm like, hey, thanks so much for organizing this. I already purchased an individual present for this person based on my relationship with them. So I'm not going to be able to contribute, or so I'm not contributing to the group gift, but thanks so much for organizing it. Right. Or no response. Right. Like you said, Mike, on some things.
The no response is underrated.
Yeah. It depends if it's like a small group or a big group. So I think a lot of it on so many of these, it's like it depends on you and the individual dynamics. But what I would just wrap it up with saying is you don't have to do anything. So don't feel pressure. And I mean, the question started with feeling pressure to donate money at work. Think about who are your actual friends and who you have close relationships with and what you would want to do for them. Don't feel pressure to donate for people that you really don't have a close relationship with. Like, just because you work at the same company doesn't mean you have to donate to all of these things.
And think about what other people have done for you in the past. And think about it as like a net zero balance over the course of your life. And so I think back to, you know, the first baby shower that people at AT&T threw for me. And there was like 50 people who like all gave like very generous gifts. And that was a lot of money. And so I'm like, I still feel like I'm paying that off in my mind. And I don't know what the balance is. But you should try to work towards zero and not feel too bad about it. Hopefully you come out even.
Yeah, I less have the even thing. And I more just have the like, what's my relationship with that person? Mm-hmm. Right? Because you're like, I mean, you're changing companies. You're having, I don't know. But anyways, okay, let's do the next one. This is a good one. A shared Airbnb situation, and I can afford, prefer a nicer place and am willing to pay more than other people I'm traveling with. So I face this all the time and in different ends of the spectrum when I've, you know, been spending more money versus trying to spend less money. And so what are your thoughts, Mike, before I jump in with some suggested scripts?
This one is very much, in my mind, about the type of travel and relationships that you have with people. Like, I don't really travel with, like, shared lodgings with friends, you know, like, with...
We traveled together last summer.
Yeah, when we went to Austria and got that house together. That was, like, the first time in recent memory that I can... Or the only time in recent memory I can think of that I've done that. Every time it's been with family members or by ourselves. And so, like, if you are in the habit of traveling with friends, like, this is going to be much more nuanced than I think for me. My experience has always been with family. And we kind of, like, all of our families on Britta's side and my side, we're all very frugal. And so this is not like we're showing some numbers and people will say like, oh, that seems a little bit expensive for what it is. Like people have no problem providing their feedback on this. And then we sort of narrow it down and then we're all in agreement. And if somebody wanted to spend $115 a night and ends up being $125 a night, they don't complain because they just understand that it's within the range and it's fine.
That is interesting. You have a unique family in that sense that you guys are all aligned and you've traveled enough together that, you've been through these scenarios. I'll add, as we're addressing this, another related question we got was extended family vacations. Some families can't afford the trip, how best to handle. Same for friend trips with multiple families. Is it okay for some to contribute more or less to the trip? And I'd say, you know, to your point, Mike, I have tons of scenarios like this, right? So I frequently go on trips with my girlfriends, we do it every like year or two, and just have for 20 years and, with other families too, all the time. And so I would say, you know, and I actually was just doing this for a trip that I'm planning with some friends. And here's like an example script. This isn't exactly what I said, but I said something pretty similar to this. Like I would love to take the lead on finding us a place to stay for this trip. What's everyone's ideal budget? Just send me something directly and I'll handle offering up some suggestions to everyone, right? And then let's say you do, so the initial question was, I can afford, prefer a nicer place and I'm willing to pay more. So if you take the lead on planning it then, I think that's my number one advice there, because then you can say, like once you found a place that does cost more and you know your friend's budget is $200 a night or $200 whatever, for the whole stay, perhaps, you can say, hey, I found a really cool place and it'll be $125 per person, which is within everyone's budget. And you can say or not say, like, I'm going to cover the rest because I fell in love with this place and I've got some extra money right now or something and I'm happy to treat, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've done that before on friend trips over the years where I've said, like, I'm just willing to pay the difference from what people's budgets were because I didn't care about them. I was happy to spend the money. And I wanted a nicer place, right? And I've got a bunch of friends who are teachers and like I'm super understanding. And to me, the difference is if you're willing to foot the bill for the difference, then that's great. And you can tell people or not tell people. But most friends in their friend group and or family group have a general sense of like who's got more money to spend, because hopefully you're having some discussions about money or you know that like somebody's a teacher and somebody as a consultant. And you know what I mean? Like you have a general sense of that. And I think just, you know, use the knowledge you have to make a thoughtful decision. And then sometimes it might be where, yeah, you'd like to stay in a nicer place, but you just need to do what the group is doing, right? Like kind of like you said in your family example, Mike, of somebody might say, oh, that was a little more than they wanted to spend. But like, look, you're traveling with a group. You got to make some concessions one way or the other sometimes.
Yeah.
Or don't travel with groups.
And on a related note about traveling with friends and family, you know, I like your thought about paying for the difference. There's also a little bit of nuance here. If you are pushing to do something that is your idea versus like a combined group where like you all know you're going to go to Scottsdale or whatever, and you're all going to go golfing and that's sort of the thing. But if you are pushing some agenda, like you could consider just paying for all of it yourself and avoid the whole situation where people are there's budget discrepancies. And I've done this with family members as well, because I don't even want to get into the thing where they start looking for options and they provide their feedback and they want to talk about money. I'm just going to pay for it because it's what I want to do. And I know they're going to eventually enjoy it.
Well, and let me throw in a whole nother sticky situation into this sort of scenario, which has happened to me before. And I think it's pretty common. Sometimes it might be that one of the families you're going with requires more space than the other. So they're like, look, my kids refuse to, like, we're not going to share a room, whatever it is. And like we were looking at this one trip and like we might let our older kids invite a friend. And so we're going to need a little bit more room. And I should be willing to pay more for that because I'm having to look for a bigger house as a result of that, which is costing us more per night. And so, I was talking about another trip that didn't end up working out, but their kid definitely needed their own room. And that was causing me to look at more expensive houses that had more rooms in it. And I knew that person would probably be willing to spend more to accommodate that request, right? And I think there's something in just like, to me, everything's about like what's fair and equitable, right? So if I'm going on a trip with four families and every family has agreed that they just need one bedroom and the kids can sleep wherever, there'll be like a, you know, community room, they'll sleep on the floor wherever. But one family says, nope, our family needs two rooms. I might be like, okay, you're going to pay a little bit more than the other places because I'm now looking for a bigger house. You get the idea though. I think to me, it's all about just what is fair and equitable and what seems reasonable and makes sense. And then being open and having an open, honest discussion about that and saying like, hey, so cool. Are you willing to pay a little bit more if I need to find two rooms for your family?
You know, it's clear where our values lie, Maggie, because we spend like half this episode so far just talking about travel examples.
Yeah. Well, okay. This next one is actually one of my favorite, not favorite, it is one of the most common questions and topics.
Everyone has gone through this, where there's this never-ending dance about how to handle the restaurant bill, and do you itemize everything? Do you split it evenly? Somebody got two glasses of wine and somebody got no glasses of wine, and then it's really, the price difference is big. It can be very uncomfortable for people.
Have you, by the way, my favorite part is that the person who, many people submitted a version of this, but the person who submitted it, it started with, the never-ending dance of itemizing the restaurant bill or splitting it evenly. Have you seen the Friends episode on this?
I vaguely remember it. I don't remember the details.
Okay. I don't know if this is the episode, but I found a YouTube clip of it. And the YouTube clip is titled The One with Five Steaks and Eggplant Splitting Money. But Joey, Rachel, and Phoebe don't have as much money, right? Like, Joey's an actor. I don't know what everybody was even doing at the time, but... and like Ross and I can't remember who else like had a lot of money and were always kind of like bawling out, right? Ross and Chandler and somebody else. And they get into this like debate and like awkwardness at dinner one night. And you got to watch the YouTube clip on it. We'll put it in the show notes because it's a cute clip. And then there's like some kind of follow on clips where they're discussing money as a result. And they make different amounts of money and they're basically suggesting splitting a bill. And Joey, Rachel, and Phoebe, they were at like a steak restaurant celebrating Monica's promotion, and they ordered like an appetizer and like super cheap stuff because they didn't have any money and were at a nice restaurant, and everybody else ordered steaks. And at the end, the bill comes, and Ross in his true nature is like splitting it up, and he's like, okay, this is also like 20 years old or 15 years, because he's like, okay, we each owe $28.50. It's funny because Joey's like, are you forgetting something? And he's like, oh, you're right. It was Monica's promotion. Let's split it five ways, not six. And then it just gets higher. and this is like the age old one. So, yeah. Mike, I want you to go first. How do you handle these scenarios?
All right. Context is everything. So I'm going to provide a few different scenarios that I do. The first thing to understand is like, Britta and I do not go out for a lot of meals, and we don't go out on like, you know, other couples dates. And so like, we just do not come across this very often. And as a result, if we're going out with other adults for dinner, I am typically just like, whatever happens with the bill, I'm just going to pay it because I don't want to argue with them. I'm like not good enough friends with them where I want to get into it. I just accept that if I'm going out to dinner, it is going to be more expensive than it would be if I were to just go with my wife, because people are not as frugal as us. I just get over it before I start. When I do go out with people that I know, there's typically two things that happen. If the price difference between what somebody ordered and what I ordered is like noticeably large, like they got two glasses of wine and I didn't drink, and that's $30 more, that is reason enough for me to say, well, you got the wine, let me just pay for my meal. And again, people know me. This is how I discuss these things with people. It's not a big deal. If it is close, like somebody got a more expensive entree that was $10 more than mine, we'll just split it evenly if we're not going to itemize the bill, you know, if it's not the type of restaurant. And I just, again, get over it, and my meal ends up being $3 more than it otherwise would have. But I don't spend a lot of time worrying about this because I don't do it that often.
Yeah. So we do this a good bit, or we are in these situations a good bit. And I agree with you on like, there's times where like, if it's close enough, I just suck it up. And like, often, suck it up's even the wrong word. It's often like pretty fair to just split the bill, but I'm roughly paying attention. And so most of the people that I'm eating out with are also thoughtful enough to make that point themselves, to be like, oh, hey, we should just, like, I'll kick in more because I ordered a bottle of wine and you didn't, or you had a beer or whatever. And so most of the people I am out with will, like, make the point themselves on whether it's fair to just evenly split it or itemize the bill. And I've been at meals where we have tallied up our meals and just said, like, hey, we'll say to the waiter, like, hey, can we just give you an amount for each credit card? And, like, we'll just roughly guesstimate, you know, how much to put on each person's. Or then sometimes we'll split it. So I do think it's super contextual on the situation. And again, I'm roughly paying attention to it. But look, if you need a script, again, you could say something like,
response. Is that going to be an appropriate one?
No response doesn't work here. You just don't get your credit card out.
That's right. You just walk out the restaurant,
I guess. But one response, like, similar to kind of what you said, Mike, is like, you could say, hey, I'm on a budget right now, or I'm, like, tracking my eating out right now, which is true, right? And I purposely ordered a cheaper meal because, like, we're really trying to, like, stay within our eating out budget this month. So, like, I'm happy to, you know, put in for, like, what we ordered plus, you know, our share of some apps and the tax and tip and all that. And I'm happy to go talk to the waiter and, like, you know, make sure we can figure out the math or something. And, you know, you take on the onus of figuring that out. Don't make the other, say you're out to dinner with another couple or a bunch of friends, like, don't put it on them to figure it out, right? And the other note that I would say, and I've done this myself recently, is, you know, I am thoughtful about what I'll order. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't want to drink at a place because it's just so expensive. I'll get a, you know, I'll drink it, you know, before or after or something. But when I know everyone's kind of living it up around me and we're, it's a situation where we're probably going to split the bill, I'll also do the same thing. I mean, I'm serious. Like, I'll just be like, you know what? Then I don't have any sour feelings about the situation. And again, I'm not ordering, like, more than my fair share, but I'm just like, I'm not going to order an appetizer to save a bunch of money when everyone else is ordering an entree that costs. And I look, I don't eat meat also. So my meals tend to cost less than other people's. And so, like, I was somewhere the other night and I was like, they had a drink special, but they were all whiskey drink specials. And they were like $5 for a cocktail versus $14 for a vodka cocktail. And I don't like whiskey or bourbon. And so I was like, well, I'm not going to, like, I was on my own tab, but I'm like, we're probably going to split this bill at the end. So I was like, I'm just going to get the drink that I want to drink. I think I actually ended up ordering a beer, but same idea of, like, I just ordered what I wanted to. I wasn't, like, ordering with money in mind, because then you're really going to be annoyed when the bill is split. But ultimately our advice is, look, if it bothers you and it's a really unfair situation, just speak up. Yeah. These are the things where, like, I think we all need to have more confidence and speak up with honesty. So give some context if you need to. Don't make it look like you don't need to worry that you're being all miserly. Just be like, hey, I am on a budget right now. Like, we're really, might be a great way to start some money conversations with your friends, right? Be like, look, we're tracking our expenses right now and we have an eating out budget every month and we're really trying to stick to it. And so we ordered less as a result. Or you could say that at the beginning of the meal.
And one thing, you know, we talked about this before in different contexts, but, like, if you are out with friends and you raise that concern, what you just said, Maggie, and they are, like, disgusted and offended by it, they're probably not great friends. So
yeah,
the people who care about you are going to be very understanding. And if they aren't totally already doing this prior to you raising that feedback, then they will do it in the future because they care about you and they want to understand you better.
Yeah. And look, crap's always awkward with family, certain family members anyways. So, like, just take that with a grain of salt. But the other thing is, remember to say something at the beginning of the meal. So we were actually out to dinner for New Year's Eve, which we wouldn't even have typically gone out to dinner for, but we went out with our neighbors. We had such a great time. And my neighbor, before the meal even started, like, mentioned to the waiter to do, like, an itemized bill. And then he ordered all the appetizers. And so I was like, geez, I was like, well, you need to put some of those on ours. So then I said, like, I'll do the tip for you. And so I just think, you know, like, be conscious either way of kind of, you know, where the money's going. And don't be afraid to, like, ask for an itemized bill up front at the beginning of the meal if you want to. And you can kind of do that discreetly if it's, like, embarrassing to you or something. But my challenge would be, like, get past the embarrassment, right? And to Mike's point, if they're good friends, you shouldn't be embarrassed. And if they're coworkers, be upfront. Be, you know, like, whoever the relationship is in your life, like, just be open and be honest.
All right. So let's talk about our next category. And I'm sure everyone has had situations like this. This is actually one that I struggle with, and it's gift giving.
Yeah. We got a lot of questions on gift giving.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it is just how you were raised about gifts. Like I personally did not come from a big gift giving family. When we needed stuff, we like made the justification and we got it. We didn't have really big blowout Christmas or Hanukkah or birthday present deliveries. It was just like, it's not really a part of my life. And so I constantly struggle with what people are expecting or what's appropriate. This is one where I'm not that confident. It also doesn't bother me that much, but on the spectrum of these scenarios, this is the one that I am the worst at.
Yeah. Okay. The first one is how to navigate wanting to give simpler gifts when the other person is giving very expensive gifts. Look, you do you. Like, I don't even think you need to verbally address this. This is back to the like no response, right? Like, you keep giving the gifts you give and let them do whatever they want to do.
Yeah. There's this kind of philosophy that gift giving is for the giver, not the receiver. And so if someone wants to give you stuff and they continue to do it, even though you're not reciprocating, like, it's okay to recognize that they're doing it for them. But you can also provide them feedback if they are giving you much more than you want or that you feel comfortable with. There's some very nice ways to just say like, hey, I really appreciate this, but this is much more than I need. What I'd really love from you is just X, Y, and Z. Like, let's go out for lunch. If you could give me just a small thing, this is very thoughtful of you. Like, there are ways to get people to reel it in a little bit if it's uncomfortable for you.
I remember actually at work, my team, I remember actually around the time I got divorced, I feel like for like my birthday or some, maybe it was Christmas, like my direct reports, like I think at work gifts should go, I don't know a better way to say it, but down. Like, I want to buy my team Christmas gifts. I don't want them buying me a Christmas gift.
Oh, yeah.
And I was very vocal about
that. Me too. I always tell my teams, like, because it makes me super uncomfortable. I'm like, please don't buy me any gifts. I don't want to. Yeah. Let me get you something.
I've said that. Yeah. And I've said that to them. So I think it's okay to say like, hey, set that expectation up front. And I think over time, my team learned, like, I genuinely don't want you to buy me anything. Like, bring me a baked good. Bring me, you know what I mean? Like, you can bake
bring
me something.
Bring me some soap.
But, like, yeah. Make me some soap. But like, I don't want you to buy me anything. And I remember, I think it was around when I got divorced. Like, I think people just like, I just felt sorry for me or something. And I was like, okay, like 1 year perhaps. But like, I think the same thing happened to Greg. Like, people were just like gifting him lots of things. So another related one, Mike, is how much to spend on wedding gifts. And then someone said, especially when invited without a plus one. And then someone also said something about paying for your own plate at a wedding versus wedding money gift. I'm not exactly sure what they meant, but I get the idea. There's a lot of questions on like what's appropriate to spend on a wedding gift. There are entire like articles and different people. There's so many views and kind of rules on like what you should spend on a wedding gift. And we put a link in the show notes to an article on Vogue, which gives some good advice on how much to spend on a wedding gift and some different etiquette. It's so contextual. I mean, it's like all these things on like, what's your relationship with that person? I think a lot of it is like, are you, I know weddings are so, like, do you go to a lot of weddings, Mike?
No.
Okay. I feel like your response to all these is like, I'm not in that situation very often.
Yeah.
I haven't been to a wedding in a long time. I actually would like love to go to some weddings. If anyone wants to, I miss going to weddings, gifts aside, like they're just fun parties and none of my friends are getting like, when you're in your 40s, you don't go to as many weddings as you did when you were in your 20s. So if anyone wants to invite us to a wedding, feel free. I'd love to come. And I'll bring a gift.
I would prefer not to come. So if you're thinking about inviting both of us, just invite Maggie.
And I think there is a lot contextually on, again, it's not a like zero sum game, but it is contextual on like how close you are to that person. If you're having to spend a lot to travel to the wedding and it wasn't something that like, you know, you chose and wanted, it wasn't a trip you would otherwise have taken, you might spend less on a wedding gift because you spent a lot to get to that person's wedding and it meant a lot for them, you know, to have you there. If you're in the wedding and you've been spending an insane amount of money as a, you know, bridesmaid or a groomsman or something, you might spend less. Some people might think that means you spend more, but like everyone's weddings and expectations of like who's in their wedding party are different. And so if you're a teacher and you have someone that's like a good friend that is a consultant and makes a ton more money than you. I know some people may disagree with my advice here, but if that person had a super fancy wedding and you had to spend a lot of money just to keep up with like the different events and bridal showers and things that were happening, I don't think it's unreasonable that you don't spend as much on a wedding gift for them, because you have now spent so much money on the process of their wedding that you didn't necessarily have or could afford, right? Like, that is just my personal view on it. There is no script for this one. You do not need to address how much you spent on someone's wedding present. You need to spend, a gift is a gift, doesn't come with an explanation. You need to spend what you are comfortable with and what you feel good about. And there's no explanation. So this is a nice one because you don't need a script. It's more of just our opinion here on what you should spend. But it's such a personal decision.
Yeah. And in many cases, like, there's so much stuff happening with weddings and post-weddings and honeymoons, and they're getting, you know, 100 or 200 or 300 gifts. Like, people are not that focused on what you are giving or not giving them. And so I think people giving the gifts are more worried about this than people receiving the gifts. And if the person receiving the gift is like really upset and offended by your gift, then maybe you're not going to be that great of friends in the future anyway. So you shouldn't worry about it either way.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, this reminds me, we got a related question that we'll just quickly touch on, which is, what do you buy for someone that has so much more than you do? Like, that shouldn't be a factor. Like, a gift is a gift. Like, you buy within what you can afford and what feels right to you and what's reasonable. It's not about what they have. I mean, be thoughtful about what you give them. And if you feel like they can buy everything they want and they already have, then that's not even about how much money they have. That's just about the, you know, reality of the yeah. scenario. And make them some soap, you know? Mike, you might think, I already have everything I could possibly want, and so you make me soap.
This is actually the perfect example. Like, I know that when you want something, you're going to go buy it for yourself. Like, there is nothing that I could buy for you that would be meaningful. But I think that the idea that I would spend a reasonable amount of time and thought making you something that you enjoy for a long period of time, I think that is a great gift. I'm hoping that you agree with
it
that.
It is. No, and I 100% agree, right? And I was like, not using it as a joke example. I do, when I want something, and most of the people I know, when they want something, they buy it for themselves. And so, yeah, I think something like very thoughtful and handmade, or like an experience where you're like, oh, I'm going to take you on an adventure. Or I'm going to, you know, I like to do that for kids' birthday parties. Like, instead of stuff, we'll be like, hey, I'm going to take, you know, my daughter and her friend out for like boba tea or like ice mm-hmm. cream, or like on a, like an experience, like a play date. The parents are happy. I took their kid away for 3 or 4 hours and bought them some stuff, and my kids are happy. They got an experience with their friends. And so I'm shifting examples here, but I think focusing on like an experience or kind of a thoughtful handmade gift can be really great for, as this person asked, you know, the person who has so much more than you do.
So Maggie, we covered a bunch of very common ones with a lot of context. I think it'd be helpful to run through like a bunch of the lists that we got and just give some quick thoughts. What do you think?
Yeah, we'll do some like speed rounds on these.
Yeah, speed round. Okay. I like it.
How to tip guys or girls at a hotel or like airport taxi stand who hail a taxi for you. And someone said, you know, people at hotels who take your bags up. I'll add to this one, people who like take your bags up when you didn't actually want help and you prefer to keep your bag with you, which happens to me all the time. Like, what's your tipping strategy?
I try like hell to do everything myself to avoid that situation. But typically I'll just like, I give everybody $5. If it's the valet, if it's the guy that brings up my bags, and I just, cause I don't want to spend time or worry about it, whether it should be like $2 or $10. I'm just like, it's $5. I have them. That's what I give. End of thought.
I think this is another contextual one, right? Of like, I have this kind of view of the world of you give what you can and you try to just be fair. And so in these situations, the examples that I think, you know, the examples that someone's giving here of like, you know, tipping someone at a hotel or at an airport stand or something like that. I agree with you, Mike. I often just want to do things by myself anyways. But if someone does truly help me, I know in that situation that I make more money than them. And I want to be generous. And same thing, like you said, you know, like I think tipping $5 is great and very generous. if you are in a situation where like you didn't ask for the help, you're on a budget, you can't afford it, you're in debt, like don't feel guilty not tipping someone like that if you didn't ask for the help and you weren't seeking it. That's just my view, right? I think you give what you can afford to give and what feels right to you.
All right. How can you manage how much money your spouse gives his family?
Look, this is not a speed round question, Mike. This is like a whole nother topic.
Well, I think the short answer is like you need to talk to your partner about all this stuff regularly. And if they're like Britt and I do this all the time when we have gifts for each other's family. And again, we're like, we are very much in line on all this sort of stuff. But we're like, this is like $150. Are you sure you want to do that? And you know, we'll talk about it and maybe change it, maybe justify it. But the only way through this is to talk about it over time and start to converge on your attitudes about money.
Yeah. And we have episode 109, talking to your partner about money. It's a good one to listen to if you're not comfortable talking to your spouse. But you're right, Mike. Foundationally, you got to be comfortable having financial discussions with your spouse, and then that's just another conversation to have. Okay. Friends, family being spenders, so we feel cheap or poor when we just choose to save instead of spend. Look, we've addressed this through a lot of our answers to these other questions. Yeah,
get like, new friends, right? That's our advice.
Get new friends. Like, well, you do you, right? Like, don't, if you're, the get new friends is the second step, right? I think right. The first step is you do what you need to do for yourself financially. And look, avoid some of those situations if you need to, like don't go out to dinner as much with other people, whatever it might be. But ultimately, if your friends or family are going to judge you over that, like don't spend as much time with them, right? Don't put yourself in those situations in the first place and have open discussions, right? Like we are big proponents. It's why we do this podcast of like talk to your friends and family about money. Don't be afraid to say, you know, if they say they feel like you're cheap or poor, like explain your why to them, right? Like tell them how you're trying to save to have kids. Tell them how you're trying to save to because kids are expensive, whatever situation you're in. And if you don't have kids, that doesn't matter. Like tell them, you know, just your goals that you want to spend more money on travel and that's what you're saving for. Like just give them, you know, the context once. And if they don't respect it and understand it, like that's on them. That's not your problem. That's their problem.
Next up, when holiday gifts are quote unquote in budget, but doesn't look like enough quantitatively. I think this is a good one where having discussions prior to the gift giving event is going to be really helpful. And it's okay to say, listen, we're just giving too many gifts. Like I'm trying to cut down on the amount of stuff that I need, or this is getting really expensive for me. Can we have some guardrails around how we're going to do that this year? That usually works. And if it doesn't work, then you probably need to find some different friends to give gifts with.
Or you can use my ex mother-in-law's strategy, who, by the way, is a lovely lady. So I'm not sure. I was like laughing when I read this because my daughter, we did Christmas second with the kids this year. So they had already had like Christmas on Christmas Day. We were doing it the day after. And so my daughter made some, we were distributing presents, and my daughter made some funny reference. She wasn't even knocking it. She was just like, it's really confusing when Mia has all these presents under the tree that have nothing in them. So my ex-mother-in-law is like notorious for, it's a decor thing she does where she wraps like empty boxes to just make the tree look really full and fluffy with presents underneath.
I like that.
And Kate's comp, and she's a lovely lady. So I'm not saying that in a disparaging way at all. But Kate, so that's one of your strategies is just wrap some empty boxes. And Kate's comment was, she was like, yeah, it's just more confusing. She's like, it's really confusing because we're trying to just figure out like whose is what. And she's like, oh, that's a fake present. That's a, you know, and then she can't quite remember which ones are fake and real. But yeah, I think as your kids get older too, it's a lot easier because we have discussions with our kids about just like if they want, you know, a couple of big things, they're going to get like two presents, right? Versus smaller things. And so I think, again, it's all about having these, you know, open discussions with your kids and friends or family about this stuff. Okay. These two are related, Mike. How to handle a friend that always asks about your finances but never shares theirs. And then also, is it polite to talk about maxing out accounts if you don't know for sure the other person is able to or is knowledge power? What do you think, Mike?
This is interesting. I think if someone is asking about yours but not sharing, then this is an opportunity, if you like are friends with them and you want to be closer with them, to like start building some more trust. So sharing some and hoping it's reciprocated, I think, is the best approach. Now, if you continue to share and they are still not sharing theirs, you could just say, well, that at some point, that's a little too personal, and just stop. And you set up some boundaries, and then they know, and you can stop responding to certain types of things. You can talk about what you're spending on your utilities, but you're never going to talk about what you spend on your medical expenses. And you could talk about how much you save in your 401k, but you're never going to talk about your income. And but you have to feel it out and hope that people are coming along on the journey with you. But this one is all in the context of who you're talking about.
Yeah, I totally agree. And on the point about like maxing out accounts, like, you know, we talk pretty openly about that. And I know that not everyone can afford to max out their accounts, but it also sort of pushes people to think differently and maybe even challenge some of their preconceived notions that they can't afford it. Yeah. Maybe they could push themselves harder. And
I think that's the real point, because if you're talking to somebody who makes their household income is $50,000 a year, like, they definitely cannot save $22,500 into their 401k. They probably don't even have a 401k. So like, you know, that is an impossibility. But if you are talking to somebody who is at your company who earns about the same as you, and they say they can't afford it, it's probably because they are making lifestyle decisions that prevent that. And if you are giving them an aspirational view, they might be willing to make some changes in order to do that.
Okay, Mike, last question.
Okay.
Family asking to borrow money and say they will pay it back on payday in a few days, and then you have to chase it. And then we also got just other questions about how to handle when family asks for money. Fun fact, there was one Friends on Fire episode that we once recorded and never shared, and it was about loaning money to friends and family. I don't remember why we never shared it. It was super unscripted and like off the cuff. Remember, it was a surprise episode, so I hadn't even had time to like think about it.
Yeah,
and I think I didn't want to share it because I was like, I didn't really have time to even like form my thoughts in advance, and it's a super dicey topic. My main advice on this is don't lend money that you can't afford to not get back from somebody. Like that should always be your situation, and also just don't be afraid to chase it. So this person was like, then you have to chase for it. So look, a script is, hey, I know you said you'd be able to pay that money back in a few days. I really need it to pay my own bills. So I'm about to incur interest on something. If I can't get that money back by, give them a day, right? And just let them know, because they set an expectation that they'd pay you back. Now you can let them know that it is affecting you financially in a negative way if you can't get that money back. Okay, we're going to wrap this up.
This was a fun episode, though. I enjoyed this.
Yes, yeah, I agree. Okay, our top three takeaways. Number one, money can be an awkward topic for everyone. We all face situations where we need to grow and improve our muscle of being able to be open and honest about money with friends and family.
Number two, you do you.
Yeah, Mike's really good at that one. Number three, like, be kind and honest, right? If like Mike said a number of times, if people are going to judge you based on that, they probably, you know, shouldn't be your friends. And I know you can't choose your family, but okay. Thank you guys for listening. If you have been challenged or inspired by what you've heard, please rate and review the show. You can also subscribe to make sure that you never miss an episode.
If you have any thoughts or questions, we'd love to hear from you. You can leave us a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370 or hit us up on Instagram.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Maggie.
Bye.
Bye.